Yaakov gets back to Eretz Yisrael, and he's on the way. He's going to meet Esav, and he sends him messengers. And what does he say? Yiklav angarti. I lived with Lavan. The Rashi quotes the famous Medrash. He says, Garti Bigamatria Taryag. Garti is the Gematria of 613. That's pretty easy. Garti is Tarfesh Yud Gimel in different order. Chomar Im Lavan Arasha Garti Vitarig Mitzvah Shamarti Vilo Garti Mimaisav Haroin. I didn't learn from his evil ways. Okay. This is a famous Rashi. We live out there in the outside world. We live in a world that's as bad as Lavan's house. And this is our challenge in life. To have Esri and we get to Shemayim and we say, Hashem, look, you put us in a challenging generation. Im Lavan Garti, but I did the mitzvahs. That's the world famous Rashi. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal adds an insight. This happens a lot, where the Rav would add an insight into something. And here's what he said. How do we interpret the Medrash? Garti. Garti is Gematria Taryag. Gimel Reish Tuf Yud and, you know, Tuf Reish Yud Gimel. Garti, Gematria. That's the Pashup Shot, 613. But the Rav said it's not just that there's a Gematria. It's the word that he uses. You have to know this word. Garti. What does Ger mean? Stranger. A convert, a stranger. As opposed to Yashavti. I dwelled there. Garti means, what's the English word for Garti? I sojourned. I don't know what that means. But it means that you weren't settled. It's like a British word, sojourn. The Rav said that Yaakov was explaining to Esav how he was successful keeping Taryag Mitzvahs. That he felt when he was by Lavan that he was just sojourning there. He wasn't settled there. When you're living amongst Rishoyim, Yaakov, this is not my place. My place is the Beis Medrash. My place is the shul. My place is my dining room table, assuming I learned there during the week, and my 5-year-old son calls it a Beis Medrash. Do you know that story?
Yeah.
Came late this year, a couple of months. You don't know that story. That's a hole. There's a hole right there. We're going to have to fill the hole in at some point. That's a big hole, that story. That's a big hole, that story. That's a big hole. There's a cavity right there. Right there, there's a cavity. Because you don't know that story. That's a problem. That's a story. Without that story, your sheer experience is severely... This is crucial. You're working in an office, and you're surrounded by people that are not serving God in the right way. That's where you work. You're not supposed to feel, oh, I'm settled here. I'm the same as everyone. No, you're not the same as everyone. You're making a living. You're going to be pleasant with everyone. You're going to always be pleasant. But you're going to feel, it's not my place. My place is... And then you do the best you can to this place. I told you a mushel last week. I'll say it again. Rabbi Twersky Shlita. You're sitting in an office, working in investment banking. You're sitting here, your friend's sitting, he's a non-Jew sitting there. You're both doing the same computer work, making the deals, reading the Far East stock market, trying to make that killer investment, killer in a good way. Like, Rebbe, you killed it. Anyway, so in a good way. Anyway, that's people talk, right? Killed it. It's a new words, new language. In the old days, killed it puts you in jail. Now killed it makes you popular. All right, anyway. So, he's thinking Olam Hazeh. He wants to make a living. He wants to have money for vacations. He wants to take his wife to nice restaurants. We'll stop there with what he wants to do with his money. We'll stick with things that are more or less mutter. And you're in the same office, and you're thinking, paying tuition, that's high. Giving tzedakah that if I'm able to. Having extra money to give my child tutoring if he or she needs it. So you're breathing olam haba air in the office. He's breathing olam haza air, and you're breathing olam haba air. This is crucial. That's how you have to live. That you're a gear. You're in the office. The office is olam haza. The office is electric. It's tingling with olam haza, making money, which is what business is supposed to make money. But your goal has to be, I'm here for olam haba. And that'll also mean how you spend your lunch break. That'll also mean what you think about and how you talk in the office. This story, I'll tell you another story. So that's what Yaakov said, Imlov and Garti. I felt like a stranger. One way to feel like a stranger is that if you serve Hashem the way you're supposed to, you're going to be different out there. And different in a good way. People will notice. People will notice. I have a sister who's a tzedekis. Don't tell her I said that. And my sister mentioned once, not to us, it came up in a conversation, and then I heard from someone from the office, that when she's around, the people in the office don't speak nivel peh. They don't curse when she's around. Now, if you never met my sister. My sister, you would call her petite. She's short. She doesn't have a booming voice. She has a regular voice. But just the way she carries herself and the way she talks and interacts in the office, she lives in Washington Heights. Husband helps to run YU. It's an amazing story. All of you can and should try to be like that. My sister has built a little Vayeshev bubble in her life. Wherever she goes, she is settled in herself, in her Avodas Hashem, in the way she talks, in the way she dresses. And the non-Jewish world respects it. Sometimes people work in a job. If you're not in New York and it's the winter and it's hard to find time, you can't get mincha. There's no way to get mincha because your job ends and after Shkia.
So
you gotta find a place to daven. So people that daven at the office, so you'll see. Your boss will respect you. He'll find one of my brothers. His boss, you can use my office for your prayers. He respects you because you're trying to. He sees you're connected. So this is a big Rashi. This Rashi is all of life. In love and garti, v'taig mitzvah shamarti. We're out there in the outside world, in the world of lovan, and everyone's in that world nowadays. That's just the way it is, to one degree or another. And the challenge is to say that what? V'taig mitzvah shamarti. Okay? That's a big deal. It's a very, very famous Rashi. Okay. Next. Pasuk Kaf Hei. Yaakov crosses over the river, and then he left behind Pachin Ktanim, and he went back. Vayivasa Yaakov Levado, and he started fighting with the Malach. Why was Yaakov alone? What does Rashi say? Look in Rashi. Shachach Pachin Ktanim. He left small jars, the chazar aleim, and he went back for them. Mikan she tzadikim chasen al mamonam shlo yishchu yidein begezel. Yaakov was a millionaire. Why did he care about the pachim? They're worth $20. He was a multimillionaire. Why did he care about these jars? Because tzadikim care about their money. A tzadik knows his money's not his own. It's not your money. You don't own anything in your life. You don't own your body. You don't own anything. Hashem owns us. You don't own our bodies. Hashem's giving us life every second. He's creating us every new second. He's creating us. If you create something out of nothing, then you own it. We don't own. If Hashem gives us money, it's His money, and He's giving us the responsibility to watch it for Him. We're not apotropos. We're the overseer over His money. Let's say I gave Mr. Reichman some money. I wanted to keep an eye on these four quarters. And one falls out of your pocket as you're walking along. But it's my money. They say, ah, forget about it. He won't care. You can't do that. You can't choose for me that I won't care about a quarter. It's not your quarter. To say, it's not your quarter. If you drop your own quarter and you're in a rush and you feel, oh, I don't want to bend down. All right, so you can decide. But this is not your money. So Yaakov said, it's not my money. If Hashem gave me these pachim ketanim, there's a reason. I'm supposed to use them for something. It's Hashem's money. And Yaakov thought, I have to use them for something. So a tzaddik understands whatever he has in life is not his, it's Hashem's. And Hashem says, you're supposed to watch it and use it for something good. Whatever you have, Hashem gave it to use it for something good. And it's a big deal. So that's the pshat, that Yaakov was a multi-millionaire, and he went back for these for the $10. Because if Hashem gave me, A, it's his money, and B, I have it for a reason. I have it for a reason. And when you think about it, then all of life is like this. You have teeth. Whoo, teeth are good. You know why we have teeth? Because when the food gets to your stomach, and your stomach has to get it all digested, if it came down whole, it wouldn't work. So the purpose of teeth is that the food gets partially cut up and smushed up. So when it gets down, the stomach can do what it has to do. You got it? That's why Hashem gave you teeth. People use teeth for bad reasons. You grab food and eat without a bracha. That's right. See, when you think about it, all of life is like this. All of life is like this. It's all from Hashem. And this is why... And this is why in the Ne'ilah, we're davening, Hashem, Hashem, accept our tshuva. And then we say, Hashem, and hold us back from Oshek Yadenu. We shouldn't steal, Oshek. Oshek is another word for stealing. Oshek Yadenu. It means stealing. So it's very interesting. In the Ne'ilah, at the height of our big tefillah, Hashem, I shouldn't steal anymore. Why is like that the thing? What, everyone steals all the time? So the Rav said, yes, everyone steals all the time. Hashem gave you a body, He gave us a life, and He gave us a life to use for normal positive things. And when you use your arms and legs and teeth and eyes and mouth for usher things, that's stealing. Hashem didn't give it to you for that reason. So that's a heavy pshat. That's Oshek Yadenu. So that's the truth. That's what we're asking for in the Ne'ilah. Hashem, I don't want to steal anymore. You gave it to me for a purpose. I don't want to misuse it. Misusing something is similar to stealing it. So that's a big deal. So that's Yaakov. The way Yaakov treated his money is the way all of us have to treat everything that we have. Everything. Hashem gives you teeth. Eating bananas, those are healthy. That's a good way to use your teeth. Say a bracha on the banana. Appreciate that the banana is soft. Some fruits are soft, some are hard. Why? Hashem wants us to enjoy life. A banana peel is a nice bright yellow, attractive to the eye. The inside of the banana peel is like a dull, whitish yellow. Why is that? Hashem doesn't want to waste color. The yellow on the outside is to make it attractive to grab it off the tree and eat it. Hashem wants you to eat it and enjoy it. Once you have it in your hand, once you open it, the inside of the peel, not eating the peel, it's not, ooh, the inside of the peel is really attractive. If you eat the peel, Hashem will make it attractive, but you don't eat the peel, so it's not attractive. Hashem doesn't waste energy. That's a good word, by the way. That's what Victor Miller says it all the time. Okay, that's that. Very important. Next. Every Rashi here is a world famous. Yaakov fights with the Ish. Vayakov Ish Imo. Who was this Ish? What does Rashi say? It was a Malach. What does Rashi say? Soro Shel Esav. He was the ministering angel of Esav. Whatever that means. The ministering angel of Esav. Every Esav had like this angel that was up in Shemayim helping him out. Represents Esav. Malachim do their job. So Hashem wanted Esav to exist. And part of Esav existing is he has the Tsar, who's on Esav's side. By the way, Esav did a lot for the Jewish people. So what's the pshat that Yaakov fights the Tsar of Esav? What's the pshat? So the Sfarim say, all the Sfarim say this, that the fight of Yaakov and Esav represents the eternal struggle between the Jewish people and the forces of evil. And our job is to survive. And Ace, the Malach, the Sar of Esav, wanted to kill Yaakov and wipe out Yaakov. Was Esav, was the Sar successful? No, he was not. Yaakov survived. He was injured in the leg. We'll get to there. He was injured, but he survived until the morning. So the Sfarim say, the Sefer Achinuch says this, you must look this up during the week. You have a whole week now to look it up. The Sefer Achinuch says that the fight of Yaakov and Esav on the Sar of Esav represents that the non-Jewish world might injure us, but we will survive until Mashiach comes. It's a very positive, uplifting idea. Oh yeah, good. There's an Isser of Gid HaNasha. You can't eat the Gid HaNasha. At this part, because that's where the correct. That's where the Sar injured Yaakov. So the Chinuch gives a reason for every mitzvah. So the Chinuch says the reason for the mitzvah not to eat the Gid HaNasha is we should remember what happened. We should realize we're gonna survive. We're gonna survive until Mashiach comes. We're gonna survive as a nation. We might be, and we'll survive. We have an example in our generation. The Holocaust was a big injury to the Jewish people. In the late 1940s, people didn't think Yahdus had a real strong future. If you read articles, and especially in America, there was a famous sociologist who wrote an article. He said, Orthodox Judaism in America is a dying weed. A dying weed. And look what's happening nowadays, Baruch Hashem. The Torah world has come to life again. We have challenges, but we're doing so much better than we could have imagined. We're going to survive. So I told you, the message is we're going to survive. What is the challenge each one of us has? The challenge is to make sure that you survive. And your family, Am Yisrael is going to survive. The train is going to get there. That's the mitzvah of Gid HaNasha is the train will get there for sure. We're going to make it to Mashiach. That's the promise. That's exactly this thing. The challenge is, are you going to be on that train? Will your grandkids be on that train? Your great-grandchildren? And that's the good choices now. Am I doing the best I can to get onto that train? Because some people don't make it onto the train, God forbid, and they jump off or they fall off. Some jump off and some fall off. And some live dangerously, like hanging off halfway, holding on with one finger, and then they're pulled off, which is what happens all the time nowadays. So that's that. That's the Sar of Esav. We will survive as a nation. Who... A person has influence over who his friends are. A person chooses that. And he has to know he might get pushed off. And he's got to make... That's the right choices. That's a very important comment, Mr. Isaac. Those are the right choices. If you're with friends... And you're afraid you get pushed off the train. Those aren't the friends to be with. You want to change the car. I'm not kidding. That's big.
That's a call out.
That is staying on. Anyway. So here's what it says. Here is the famous letter. What's the famous letter? Who wrote the famous letter about the survival of the Jewish people? Mark Twain.
Oh, I read that.
If the statistics are right, the Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. That's a good writer. Properly, the Jew hardly heard of. But he is heard of. Has always been heard of. He's as prominent on the planet as any other people. His commercial importance is extravagantly out of proportion to the smallness of his bulk. He has made a marvelous fight in this world. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, and then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed, made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time. But it burnt out. They sit in twilight now, or have vanished. The Jews saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts. no slurring of his energies, no dung of his alert and aggressive mind. All things are mortal, but what a sentence! All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality? Mark Twain did not know the answer. We know the answer. The secret of the immortality is we're with Hashem. Hashem's forever. Hashem gave us a Torah. The Torah lasts forever. If you're connected, if you're glued and holding on to eternity, then you're going to be eternal. So we have Hashem, he's eternal. We have the Torah, it's eternal. So if we stick with the Torah, we're going to be eternal, because that's the whole promise. Hashem is eternal. So Mark Twain didn't know the answer to the question. That is the answer. So when you hold on to the Torah, and that's what's happening, and we have survived for 2,000 years without a Beis HaMikdash, almost, because we're holding on to the Torah, and Hashem's been with us all the way through, guiding everything. So that's the fight of the Malach. That's the fight. But Mark Twain noticed this. Mark Twain noticed this, and he wrote about it. Now, next, you guys are here, and you guys have big plans to go to college and make, with God's help, a lot of money. A lot of money. Now, how are you going to use your money?
Donate to the plumbing business.
Pizza Mac, baby, all day.
He's a donate to the plumbing business. I'm not going to mention that name. Anyway, but they're good. Anyway, here's the answer. Here's the answer. The Malach attacked Yaakov where? Over here. He hit his leg. Read the pasuk. Vayar ki lo yachol lo. The Malach saw he couldn't defeat Yaakov. Ho! So what did he do? He injured his leg. Why his leg? So here there's a famous comment of the Chafetz Chaim. The famous comment of the Chafetz Chaim. The Malach wanted to kill Yaakov. He wanted to destroy his ruchnius, that he would not survive. But Yaakov survived against the Malach. So what did the Malach do? He injured the leg. The legs are the support that the body uses to go do its thing. You want to daven. You daven with your heart. You daven with your mind. You daven with your eyes. But you need your legs to stand up. You want to go get a sefer. Your mind wants to learn. Your eyes want to see that the legs are the support of Torah. So the Malach, this is a good board for fundraising. The Malach knew, if I can't destroy the yeshivas directly, if I can't stop you from learning because you stay connected to Ruchnius, I'm going to knock out the financial support of the yeshivas, the physical. And weaken those. And the Chafetz Chaim said, that's the challenge. A person who has money, a person who has a little extra money around, used to support Torah. The Malach knew, without Torah, Imein Kamach Ein Torah. Without Torah, without money, the Torah is not going to do what it needs to do. So that's what Yaakov was doing. He attacked the leg of the... That's what the Malach did. He attacked the leg of Yaakov. The support being the idea that the financial support... This is a huge deal. A lot of you guys, you're going to be Zoka to make good money, make extra money beyond what you need. You better use it for good things. You give back to the yeshiva. You support local Torah in your neighborhood. Hopefully these will still be around. I wouldn't mind if you supported those. I don't mention it by name, but those, not a bad idea. And any extra at the end, then the plumbing at the end. One more idea, then we have to stop. One of my favorite boards. Malachim are angels. Malachim are angels. Why do Malachim exist? What do Malachim exist for? How do Malachim help us? So Mr. Reichman hits a bullseye that is exactly Malachim exist. Malachim serve Hashem 24/7. So Malachim are showing us what it means to serve Hashem. In other words, an ultimate obed Hashem. No, they're not. They don't have bechira chafshis, so they don't have the downside. But they just do the right thing. So the Malachim, is that clear? Mr. Jack, that's a good vort. Malachim are up there. We started the Malachim, so we should do what they do. They're serving Hashem all the time. Watch this. The Malach says, send me away, ki olo hashachar. It's morning time. I can't fight you anymore. Why not, Rashi? Olo hashachar, vitzarich ani lomar shira bayom. I have to sing in the morning. That's my job. Malachim sing all day. Rashi's telling you that's what Malachim spend their time doing. Malachim spend their time singing Shira to Hashem. That's their main job in life. And as Mr. Reichman said correctly, we have to learn from that. Singing Shira to Hashem. This is a big idea. Always think praising Hashem. Hashem, thank you. My fingers work. What's the bracha? Matir.
Asuri.
Hashem, I have nice clothing.
I'll be sharumin.
Where does clothing come from? Sheep. Sheep. How did sheep make this clothing? By eating grass and drinking water. Wow. That sheep's stomach factory is pretty amazing. Grass and water becomes wool. That's a nice. Hashem, you're amazing. I'm not kidding, by the way. We see reinforced buttonholes. Who gave some guy the idea?
So the buttons stay in.
Somebody did. I'm not kidding. Guys, this is huge stuff. We can always be singing Shira to Hashem. And we see from this Rashi, that's what you're supposed to do. That's the Malachim. When Malachim see the light every morning, woo, they go crazy. That's the first bracha before Shema. So this is the idea behind this Rashi. A Jew should be training himself to constantly praising Hashem. A, it's a mitzvah. B, you'll become a tzaddik. C, you'll enjoy life more. You get Olam Hazeh too. You'll enjoy life more. If you spend your time thanking Hashem for things and praising Hashem, thank you Hashem for the wonderful blue sky. So there's a blue sky and there's something you don't like going on out there, but thank Hashem for the blue sky and you'll, it's raining. Oh man, it's raining. It's dreary weather. Or, it's raining. Thank you Hashem. That's how I'm going to eat food in a couple of months because the rain's going to give nutrients that I want to drink in next week. So the water comes down, it gets purified and I drink it. This is a very important Rashi. The essence of man, he should be spending his time singing Shira to Hashem like the Malachim do. Beautiful. Shkoya, home run, Mr. Reichman. Home run. Yes. Yes. The Chinuch, when he deals with reasons for mitzvos, generally gives the basic message. And the Rambam too. But they don't always hone in on the details. The one who works on the details, anyone know who works on the details of the reasons for mitzvos? Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch tries to explain not just the basic message, but also the details of everything. Correct. And that's why, first name basis, and that's why, Mr. Gavi, Rav Hirsch, when he takes a topic in the Torah, first presents all of the halachos of the topic. It's fascinating. He'll give you like all of the dinim. In his Perush on the Chumash and in Chorev. And I'll show you, Perush on the Chumash, Chorev, and the collected writings. He goes through certain mitzvos. Rav Hirsch gives you all the details, and every detail fits. So Rav Hirsch would probably explain why it's Afka the thigh, not the kneecap. That's like a thing. But to understand the basic message of a mitzvah is a good level to have. Then you have to work on the detail. You understand? It's an important thing to keep in mind. Just because you don't know why here doesn't mean you don't understand the basic message. That's the point. That's a big topic to be understood, to be aware of. Rav Hirsch works on details, and sometimes he says things that are like you learn the halachas of karbanos. Every detail of the halachas of karbanos, every detail. You shecht most karbanos in the north. Why the north? Rav Hirsch explains in the Mishkan. The Shulchan was on the north, and the menorah was on the south. And the Shulchan represents, anyone know what the Shulchan represents?
Mizbeach.
No, like support.
Daily living.
No. The Shulchan in the Mishkan. The Shulchan in the Mishkan represents Gashmias, the food, the Lechem Aponim.
Olam Hazeh.
Lechem Aponim.
Olam Hazeh.
So the north is Gashmias. So when you do a Chait, it's normally because your Ruchnias Gashmias balance got a little out of whack. Here's how it's supposed to be like this. The Ruchnias controls it. Then what happened was your Gashmias took over a little and you did a Chait. So when you Shecht the animal, in a sense, you're trying to Shecht your Gashmias a little bit in order to serve Hashem better. That's why you Shecht on the north, because the north represents, you understand? That's amazing. Another, the Shechita is done in the north part of the Azara. The Azara is north and south. So most Karbanos are Shecht in the north part of the Azara. Why? Because the north represents Gashmias. So when you're doing Tshuva, Karbanos are for Tshuva, that's an example where even, the, even that, that detail fits. Once you understand, oh, I'm in the north, the Mishkan corresponds to the Azara, the north is Gashmias, so too much Gashmias brought to this Aveira. That's Rav Hirsch's style. You with me? That he gets to, and he has a lot like that. It's amazing. Rav Hirsch and Vayikra is a game changer.